How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Boy, last night, what a show. That was a fantastic Elimination Chamber. That was a very, very good show with a lot of important things happening. You know, it's interesting because everybody was very curious how they were going to get to John Cena. And I don't think people saw this coming. And that's always a positive in professional wrestling when you don't see it coming. Obviously, today on the show, we're going to be talking about Elimination Chamber and the fallout from it leading into WrestleMania. A lot of key pieces were put together here. I mean, a ton of key pieces. John Cena has turned heel 20 years in the making. I mean, literally 20 years in the making. In 2005, people said this is the time he should turn. This is when he should turn. 2006, booed out of the Hammerstein Ballroom against Rob Van Dam. And it finally happened here. This was a pivotal shift for the company into a big story moving into WrestleMania. We also saw the return of Jade. Jade Cargill had returned, attacked Naomi. That's continuing that story of I did it for The Rock, essentially. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn tried to kill each other. That was an unbelievable match. Also going to break down the post-conference, what The Rock had to say, where this is headed, and also AEW Collision. Unfortunately for AEW Collision, this pay-per-view is the big story in professional wrestling right now. We'll talk about Collision at the end of the show, definitely. We'll touch on that. But when we come back, we are going to break down what happened and what this means. And I also want to hear from you guys. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. I want to know what you thought of the show. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. Like I said before, do me a favor. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Also, I do a bunch of other stuff. See what I got here? You see what I got here? The fine folks at Wrestling Observer sent me the YouTube play button because our channel has over 100,000 subscribers. I would also recommend go find us on YouTube. Subscribe to us there also. So I want to start off with SmackDown because I'm not going to run down the whole show. It was actually interesting stuff happened here. But essentially, The Rock closed SmackDown out with a gift for Cody. In an attempt to buy his soul, The Rock would give him a custom truck with Cody's logo, and he brought it to the stage. Rock would be seen via satellite getting on a plane and showing off a custom weight belt that had Cody's soul imprinted on it with a date of his father's death. Yikes. That's how SmackDown went off. I got to tell you, not very PG show here today. Not a PG show whatsoever yesterday with Elimination Chamber. But let's go into it. Elimination Chamber. Right before the show started, they did the national anthem. Now, this became a debacle. They did both the American national anthem, the United States national anthem, and the Canadian national anthem. The Star Spangled Banner was ridiculously booed. This set Pat McAfee into orbit the entire show.
He wouldn't let it go.
He would not let it go. He would not let it go. They booed, and this has become a thing. I was at the Rangers game last week, and you know they were booing the national anthem. They were booing the Canadian national anthem, which I've never really seen at a sporting event happen, but this is the climate we're in right now.
Well, this goes back to that Four Nations Cup they did.
This goes back to the Four Nations Cup.
It was right after all the political announcements with the tariffs and stuff, and they got booed in Montreal. They booed the national anthem. So this is just a carry-on from that.
This is a carry-on.
And shouldn't read it. Yeah.
You know, it gave you the tone of today's show, last night's show. Show started off with the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Bayley, and Naomi. I want to say this is probably This is probably the best women's Elimination Chamber match that they've put on. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And there's a new superstar workhorse that, yeah, finally, you know, it used to be, for years, Sasha Banks was that kind of workhorse in WWE. Liv Morgan is a standout. She carried that show.
The first time I saw Liv wrestle live was at the Garden Theater. It was an NXT show. And I tell the story all the time. And actually, she was on a show on Barstool years ago. And they played my appearance on that Barstool show, talking about how great she was and how impressed I was by her. And then we started like hitting, you know, she like messaged me. She was like, thanks so much. And I like, we started talking over that. She's incredible. Okay. She's incredible. What a great journey she's gone on. She finally has found what works. She's so comfortable in this role. She was beyond impressive.
She's got those veteran nuances now where she understands the little things and she's starting to get
everything in between. It's not the moves. It's everything in between that elevates you. It's pretty much how this started. It was Liv and Naomi to start the match. I guess they went to shut the cage, but Jade Cargill returns and she storms to the ring, opens the cage. She goes in and everybody thinks, oh my gosh, she's going to attack Liv. Liv cowers and instead she goes after Naomi.
Liv's facial expressions like, are you going to attack me? I didn't do it. She kept yelling. Like,
and I have to tell you, Liv was great in here. Jade is so impressive. She is so impressive looking. Beat the hell out of Naomi. Left her for dead.
Naomi's face too, when she was coming to the ring, Naomi's face. I don't know if you
Naomi's
saw
Naomi's face.
She,
yeah,
you could tell. I'm in trouble.
So I guess
she think it's Liv still.
Listen, I guess she had a conversation with her father-in-law, Naomi, and you know, and he's like, listen, I did it for The Rock. I did it for The Rock. You got to do it for Bianca. And I guess she did it for Bianca. I thought this was fun. This was a really good start to it. A lot of people were surprised to see this happen. And, good stuff.
It was a clever way to get into the match and not make it too long, because this was a long match.
Very long match. Yeah, very long match. But it didn't feel it at all. So right. Naomi would be taken to the back, and Bianca Belair was devastated in the pod. And,
good
of course, 3-2-1, and Bianca needs to come out. And, obviously, Bianca's very much affected by what just happened. She's trying to figure out what happened, and now she has to have a match. Her and Liv go at it for a little bit. Roxanne Perez would be next. Bayley enters fifth. And Roxanne would try to enter her pod and attack her, but Bayley got the advantage. Last person to come out would be Alexa Bliss. Liv would hit the Oblivion on Bayley to pin her. Alexa hits the the Twisted Bliss? That's
Twisted
what it is.
Twisted Bliss, yeah.
Yeah, and she pins and eliminates Roxanne Perez. Liv Morgan would end up pinning Alexa by hanging on to Bianca's hair to hold her down. Now, the hair played a big part in this. Bianca's
hair. I didn't put it in here, I noticed, but yeah, that on the pod with Liv and
that sound,
Bianca.
You know, I had to rewind it. So pretty much the hair was coming. It was helping her and also was a negative.
Hurting her. Yeah.
But there was a spot where Liv is hanging on top of the pod and Bianca starts whipping her with this hair.
Oh, and just one whip. Sound, that's all it took.
The sound was so loud, I had to rewind because I thought they piped in a sound effect, but they didn't.
Nope, that was a hair hitting flesh, and you could tell later they made sure the camera zoomed in on those welts on Liv's stomach.
I think you need to do that with your hair. I think because I see you're playing with your hair on camera. Nobody else can see. I can see you. I think you need to grow your hair like Bianca's. That's what I want to see.
And then make it a weapon.
Weapon, yeah. Well, I mean, you are in Detroit, so you may need that weapon. Just spin it around. Nobody's going to come near you. Making a heel turn on Detroit here. Beautiful place, Detroit, Michigan. Liv Morgan, like we said, gets beat up by the hair. Really good stuff. Liv and Bianca would be the last two here. At one point, Liv was using Bianca as a yo-yo, throwing her into the cage. Then they pulled. Then the hair came into play.
That was a good spot. It really was. He was pushing her and then pulling her and pushing her and pulling her. Now
good
like,
spot.
Oh, this is good.
At the end, Bianca hits the KOD on Liv for the win. So afterwards, Bianca's walking up to the ramp, and who comes out?
Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley. She comes out. They stare down, and your favorite, Io Sky, also comes.
Came out too.
So, I don't know. Maybe they. I mean, they're. I don't think they're going to do a three way here, but Rhea's the baby face. Rhea's the baby face. We're gonna find out tomorrow. Rhea's the baby face here. Io, I don't know if she's going to make a turn, or unless we discover that, you know, maybe Bianca was part of this.
That's what
and
we don't
maybe
know.
Liv,
that's the next
maybe,
part. Yeah.
Maybe Jade went after Naomi because obviously Bianca was in the cage. It was in the tube. What do you call it? The pod.
The pod.
And couldn't get to her. So maybe they were both in on it. We will find out. Very interesting stuff here. When we come back, I want to cover this, the rest of the show here, because the rest was fantastic as well. I also want to hear from you guys. Hit me up on X at Andrew Zarian. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to pick it up where we left it off. Trish Stratus and the WWE Women's Champion, Tiffany Stratton, defeated Nia Jax and Candice LeRae. This went 11 minutes. You know, if you're going to talk about a weak spot in the show, this would be it. But this was still not a bad match. This was good. The whole point of this was to make Tiffany look strong. Trish was fine. You know, she tends to have difficulty with bigger opponents. And that probably has to do with the fact that she's not used to working with someone like Nia's size. You know, she has like this tremendous, impressive size in that ring. She's a monster. And Trish really never worked with people of that size. I thought it was fine. I thought this was a good match. I don't really have much to say. The whole thing was to make Tiffany look strong, and she did look strong going into WrestleMania.
Oops, there was one spot where Tiffany did kind of a belly-to-belly on Nia, showing off her strength. So, yeah, they did everything they could to make her look like a good opponent for Charlotte.
Yeah. But let's go right into the next one. Unsanctioned match. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, 27 minutes. They beat the crap out of each other. The match felt that it leaned towards Kevin Owens, essentially, really destroying Sami Zayn. And he did. What did you think of this? Did you enjoy the match? I thought it was great.
I did. And what made it for me, and this is going to be kind of weird, almost sick in a way, but what made it for me is how uncomfortable everybody was acting at the end of it. Like, no, this has to stop. Someone
because Sammy was dead. Going.
Yeah, and it kept going, and he just, I mean, he kept coming back, and then they're like, no, he's dead. No, and it just kept going in a big circle until finally the match was over. But yeah.
So after the match, Owens would start tearing up the canvas outside the ring, essentially to murder Sami Zayn. Randy Orton's music would hit. This guy, every time he comes back, he's 2 inches bigger. In every direction. He's like 8 feet tall at this point. He came back. He's looking absolutely jacked to the gills. Bigger than ever. Orton would make his... You know what? Those guys like Randy Orton, they don't... They are the last of a specific breed in that company.
Yep.
He comes in. He hits an RKO. He teased doing the punt before security would stop him. He took out the security. And listen, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed. Randy Orton's back. Jade is back. You could already see the pieces are falling into place. It's going to be Orton and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, which I think that's a good match.
That's a very good match.
Yeah.
That's something you could probably open one of the two nights with.
Yeah.
And really get the crowd going.
That's going to be a great match. So now we're at the main event. Elimination Chamber match. John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Damian Priest, and Logan Paul. 32 minutes, this went. How long did the women's go? Did you put that in the notes?
I don't think I did.
The time? I was curious compared to the women's match. Yeah, if you can.
I'll look it up real quick.
You know, the story here was who's going to take it? A lot of people assumed John Cena. I don't think they assumed in the way that it was going to happen. Some people assumed CM
minutes.
Punk. That went 29 minutes. Okay, so pretty close. Drew and Seth would start the match. Damian Priest would enter third. Logan Paul was fourth. John Cena was fifth. And CM Punk was last. McIntyre tried to go for a pin on Cena because he was obsessed. And guess what happened? And this they do this with Drew a lot. Drew gets obsessed. And he messes up. And Priest would get the most devastating finisher on Drew McIntyre. Do you know what that finisher is?
The roll-up?
The roll-up pin. The most devastating move in all of professional wrestling. He got hit with a roll-up. This enraged McIntyre. He claymored Damian. Leaves the ring. This allows Logan Paul to get and do a frog splash from the top of the pod, from Punk's pod. You know, at one point I was thinking, oh no, is this the match? Is it going to be Logan Paul and CM Punk at WrestleMania?
I was thinking that too, yeah.
Because they're teasing that.
But they're also, the Seth Rollins stuff is a little more intense.
A little bit more, yeah. But, you know, I guess you could pair him with Damian Priest since he got the pin, right?
Yeah. I think it's going to be Damian Priest and, Damian Priest and Drew makes the most sense to me.
Damian Priest and Drew. Okay, yeah. You could do that, too. I mean, that works also. CM Punk would hit the GTS on Logan Paul, getting payback for Paul eliminating him at the Royal Rumble. This became like a finish bonanza. Everybody was trying to get their finishes in so many times. CM Punk would help with the help of John Cena, gets the pin on Seth Rollins.
Seth would not. Question for you.
Yeah, go.
At any point during these little exchanges toward the end here, when we got down to the three, did you think that we were going to see Roman Reigns come in and get involved?
I did, actually. I was actually surprised we didn't get Roman in any way. I thought maybe he would come down or do something to distract.
Right. Cost somebody like.
Because that match, we still don't know. We still don't know that match.
We think it's going to be a triple threat, but we don't know. Right?
But does that make sense, that triple threat match?
Right now, it does. That's why I'm asking the question of why he did. What, if they were going to go that route, it felt like it would have been a good place to have him make an appearance and do.
Yeah, I thought maybe like he would come out and distract. He would possibly distract Seth Rollins because he got stomped by Rollins at the last pay per view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, but they didn't go that way.
Right.
CM Punk would, with the help of John Cena, gets a pin on Seth Rollins. Like I said, Seth would not leave, and this was a wild spot. So I guess Punk went through the ropes.
Yes.
And he got a crazy stomp by Seth Rollins. Essentially, Punk was out. He gets put in an STF submission. With the STFU? Whoa, my son is falling. The STFU, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would pass out.
It's been so long, I forgot what it was called.
Yeah, I know. He would pass out from the finish. You know, it was really cool seeing those two as the final two because they did. CM Punk and John Cena were the final two. I didn't say this.
Yes.
They ran through all of their best of 2013.
They did. And then
do you know
Seth
what move I would have bet money on that we were going to see in that match?
Which one?
I would have bet money we would have seen one of them give a pile driver to the other.
Pile driver. Oh, yeah.
I
forgot about
was
that.
Waiting for that. I was waiting for that spot because that's a last. Remember, before, I guess, have they done
the
real pile driver since?
Yeah, Kevin Owens has been doing it.
No,
lately.
That's a package pile driver.
Well, he did the real one. The first one he did was on Orton was a real pile driver.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
he did a real pile driver.
And then That to me is the reason why they didn't do it here, is because that's in another program. That move is being used in another program.
Yeah, I would have bet money that we would have seen it. But they ran, dude. You know what? And Punk looked good, and Cena looked good, and
maybe Seth Rollins on the outside.
They're a half a second slow. Yeah, he was telling him to die, right? Yeah, that was great.
It was God.
You know, maybe they're a half a step slower, but it didn't matter. You know, that crowd. I have to tell you, like, I have a very specific style of wrestling that I really like. Okay, we all know this. And if you've been listening to me for the last decade, over since 2011, you have an idea what kind of wrestling I like. I have no problem seeing Bryan Danielson do a grappling match for 3.5 hours. I have no problem watching old Mid-South. I have a very specific style of wrestling, and it varies, you know. The WWE style is not always my favorite. However, but when it's done well, it's done really well. And this was fantastic.
Can we talk about something real quick? I just thought about it, or I'll back you up a little.
Please.
Kevin and Sammy match. That was not a WWE style match.
They beat the crap out of
almost from FMW. I mean,
somebody posted that on Twitter. Yeah,
ECW
somebody.
Well,
there was no blood. Remember, there was no blood because they did it at the end. They saved the blood.
Well, they
the
wanted
end.
That as the angle. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, they did everything else. So yeah, that was not a WWE style match at all. So they're letting them be a little more creative now that a certain someone isn't in charge anymore and micromanaging all that.
Yeah, it was very good. Very, 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 very good stuff here. I would say as far as a men's Elimination Chamber match, I where do you rank this? I mean, obviously we've had like 20 something of them, right? Like we've had 20 something years of this.
It's hard
to
go through.
Gauge.
As far as the angle at the end, it's up there, maybe top five. If you put the angle in, as an angle goes,
yeah. Like if you go into like, give me a memorable Hell in a Cell. Elimination Chamber. Give me a really memorable one. Like
it might have spent the first one with Shawn Michaels.
The first with Shawn. Yeah, the first with Shawn. They've done some wild spots, like when you know, breaking the pod. You know, they've done those, but. Really, as far as a instrumental, you know what? CM Punk winning. Remember that one?
Yep.
That was a big one, but not like this. This really, the match was fantastic. The storytelling was fantastic. When we come back from break, we're going to go into what happened after the match, because that is the key here. That is what told the story here. And we're going to break it down for you. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to pick it up immediately where we left off. Cena wins. He's the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Undisputed Championship. That is the main event of WrestleMania against Cody. So, Cena wins. Cody comes out. Cody and Cena having a conversation. All of a sudden, The Rock's music hits. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Travis Scott's music hits. Rock and Travis Scott come out. For people who don't know who Travis Scott is, Travis Scott is a very, very famous rapper. Is that a good explanation of him?
Fair enough. I mean, yes.
One of the biggest names in hip-hop and in rap in the last 10 years. Big megastar.
Fair description.
He has his title belt, his hardcore championship. Because everybody has a belt now. And he has Sage with him, apparently. Why was he saging himself?
I have no idea. It was so weird. It was his, you know.
I bring somebody to my house. My wife brings someone to the house every 6 months to sage our house. You know, we do that. We're into the hocus pocus.
Knowing you guys, yes.
Yeah, we're into hocus pocus. Was it San Paulo sticks? We do that also.
Maybe Travis thought that Toronto was a little stinky.
He needed to cleanse himself here.
His own hair. So
Rock comes out with Travis Scott. His music hits. Everybody wants to know what's going on. The Rock said he wanted to embrace Cody as his champion and puts his arms out for a hug. He said if Cody says yes to giving his soul, he would live forever. And if he said no, the dream dies tonight.
There's that callback, the dream drop.
The dream drop.
Bringing that back. It goes in full circle with the weight belt.
Cody said the ultimate babyface line here, that he sold his soul to the fans a very long time ago. Very much like a John Cena thing to say.
That's what, full circle.
Then this, and at this moment, you could tell how different this company is. The show is ending. You got The Rock in the ring. You got Cena in the ring. You got Cody in the ring. And Cody turns around and he gives his answer to The Rock.
Oh.
And that answer was, hey, Rock, go blank yourself. This was not censored. I cannot say this on radio. The FCC would send us a letter. It would become a huge deal. I would get arrested.
Maybe not that far.
The Rock. So he says, go blank yourself. The crowd ate this up. Okay. This led to Cena being excited and hurrah, shaking his hand. He gives Cody a huge hug that he didn't sell out. And The Rock just gives this weird throat cut signal. I'm wondering if he was told he can't do that on camera. Like, that's a little too much. So he went to his mouth. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, he didn't do a full
and
on.
Then he goes, I mean, like this. Undertaker, I don't know what the two years, was.
Though. Yeah, I didn't
remember
know that either.
Yeah, and then he goes, the two. I don't know what that was. Cena's face totally changes. Camera did a great job at that. And he
and
gives
the audience gasp
a
right
quick
then.
And the audience gasped. Yeah, that was the whole building. And he gives them a quick low blow. Boom! Right to Cody. And they proceed to beat the living hell out of Cody Rhodes. Cena, Michael Cole actually got this wrong. He said, oh, Cena got a brass knucks. But it was actually the Rolex that was gifted to Cody by The Rock. It was his dad's Rolex that was pawned. So now, is it the exact same one? I think it is the same one. Now, is it the actual one that he had that he pawned? I don't know. But when Cody and his sister wanted to go become actors, Dusty didn't have that kind of money. So he pawned his watch so he could send them to school. That was the story here. Cody was bleeding. I mean, I guess they tried multiple times to do it, and it didn't. Like, they redid it a couple times. It wasn't until the end you saw the blood. Cody was bleeding. So blood's back. Cursing is back. Pile drivers are back. Again, very different company. Some would say very TV-14 of them, huh?
They're going there. I mean, they're picking their spots. They know they can't do it on USA all the time, but they on Netflix, they got a little more room to work, and of course on Peacock,
they can do whatever they want.
They can, yeah.
Same. Yeah. So, I mean, it ends with, oh my gosh, Travis Scott beat the crap out of Cody. If you guys haven't seen it, go on X and take a look. I'm sure people have posted this. You can even search it up. He like nailed him in the face so hard where Cody was like, dude, and then he had to cover his face. He was saging himself in the corner. That was the more awkward thing, but I guess they decided they didn't want him there. They wanted somebody cool there. And, you know, is there a third man?
Oh, boy.
After 20 years, we got John Cena to turn. Now, I want to see the jorts disappear.
I don't think we're going to, but yeah.
Oh, listen, regular normal babyface John Cena. Don't get, I get why he kept the jorts. Change it. Wear something else.
They'll be black shorts. We'll change the color.
Change the look. And they leave, and the audience is shocked. John Cena's turned heel. He's aligned with The Rock. He's a corporate stooge.
And then they show Cody in the ring, and Michael Cole and Wade Barrett to come to try to help him.
And that fell to me. And again, I'm not going to do the comparison to Hogan's turn, okay? I can't, because we don't know where this is going, how it's going, what's going on. But you know what felt like WCW in 1996? When the heel commentators and the babyface commentators go and try to help the babyface talent. Where Wade Barrett and Michael Cole are there like, hey, are you okay?
And they're the only ones. No one else. It was so weird. It was like,
get this man some help. No, because nobody likes Cody because he's the champion. Why am I going to help him? He has no friends.
So good.
No, babyfaces don't have friends in that company. Only the heels are good friends. Remember John Cena? Nobody would ever come out to save him.
Well, here we are. Full circle, like I said before.
Maybe that's why. He's like, after all these years, nobody came. Really good stuff. Elimination they had a post show. Joe Tessitore followed up that for the Rolex angle and explained that it was Dusty's watch. Triple H said Saturday events ranked up there with the biggest moments in WWE modern history. Triple H also praised Cena for doing a dramatically different finale compared to what he's ever done in his career. The Rock came out and did a Q&A. The show closing angle was one of the moments, was one of those moments that performance lived for, he said. What I felt tonight and I've been part of has been some really phenomenal professional wrestling angles. And as a kid growing up, I've seen we all have some amazing pro wrestling angles. I mean, he was into this and it was a great pro wrestling angle. It was fantastic. He actually answered a bunch more questions, breaking the fourth wall a couple times, talking about how they came up with the angle and how we might see a six-man match with Travis Scott, him, and John Cena teaming up. Cena came out and did nothing, right? He just came out, picked up the mic, and dropped it and walked out.
He pulled it out of the little sleeve, held it in the air, and just dropped it on the table and got right back up.
So tomorrow... Perfect. Tomorrow night's Monday Night Raw. We're going to get Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. We're getting the War Raiders against American Maid. And do we get The Rock? Do we get John Cena? Do we get Cody Rhodes?
I think they're going to save that for SmackDown. I really do. It'll make us wait till Friday.
Man, I want to see it. I want to wait. I don't want to wait.
I'm sure we'll get recaps. I'm sure we'll get recaps and there'll be something. Yeah. But maybe an update on Cody. I don't know.
Did you get a chance to catch Collision?
I had it on in the background, and I went back, and when there were slow times, I turned the sound on, so I kind of know what happened.
I mean, listen, it's going to be a difficult thing for them to compete with this. Already, I think the clip has almost 2 million views at this point on YouTube of what happened at the end. But Collision, we'll go into it really quickly. The story here was... Collision began with Daniel Garcia, FTR, and the Undisputed Kingdom, and the team of Powerhouse Hobbs and Bandido. Julia Hart spoke on her match, but was interrupted by Okada coming out of his locker room. This is so odd, dude. So odd. They did a stare down with Brody King, that's a good match. I want to see that. Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong. And I'm rushing through this, guys. I ran out of time here. I apologize. No disrespect to AEW Collision, because it was a good show. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong defeated FTR. That was a little surprising. They're really pushing these guys. Wheeler Yuta defeated Willie Mack. Mox would come out here and hit Willie with the briefcase. And then Yuta hit him. And then made Yuta hit him with the briefcase. Also then told Yuta he needs to make it right and take out Cope Wednesday. This is leading into Revolution, which is on Saturday. Match, yeah. Yep. Swerve Strickland defeated Clark Connors. Big Boom AJ, Orange Cassidy, and Mark Briscoe versus MXM Collection and Johnny TV. This was set up for Revolution 0 Hour. Lee Moriarty and the Infantry defeated Vinny Massaro, Nick Ruse, and Dave Dutra. I got that right. Dutra. TNT title match, Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole. It ended in a no contest.
This was Shane a good Taylor, match.
This was a really good match. And Adam Cole is getting back to, I got to tell you, he's
back, yeah.
Whatever he went he's through, and obviously it was injuries, it was a lot of stuff going on. He seems to be piecing the puzzle together again. He looked good. That's good for him because those injuries were bad. One after another. Queen Aminata defeated Julia Hart. After the match, Brody King would come out to check on Julia, and Okada would interrupt. And we are getting Okada and Brody King. I'm excited for that.
love.
End of the show, Kenny Omega would cut a promo from home saying he had to listen to Don Callis for years and how Takeshita beat him twice in a week. If he can't win at Revolution, he may admit that the old Kenny is done. And we had Bandito and Powerhouse Hobbs defeating Big Bill and Brian Keith at the end of the show. It's the go-home show for Dynamite, for Revolution. Dynamite will have Cope versus Wheeler Yuta, Swerve Strickland and Ricochet, AEW Revolution contract signing. Very cool stuff here. I'm looking forward to that show also. That's another great show we're going to get. But you're seeing the difference, and that's fine. Listen, WWE is something different than AEW, and that's healthy, and that's positive, and you could like both, and you could enjoy both. You don't have to pick a side, or you could just pick a side and just deal with it. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Next week, AEW Revolution. Let's see this card. Let's see where we're at with this card right now. So, as of right now, we got Big Boom AJ. We had Big Justice and the Conglomeration versus Johnny TV and MXM Collection in a trios match. You're going to get Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, steel cage. MJF versus Hangman Page in a singles match. Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet to determine the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe for the AEW TBS title. The Hurt Syndicate, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin with MVP versus the Outrunners for the tag team titles. Timeless Toni Storm versus Mariah May in a Hollywood ending match for the AEW Women's World Championship. I want to see Dustin, and I want them to do that backyard brawl, whatever that was during that WrestleMania match. I want them to do like a little homage to that. You got Takeshita with Don Callis against Kenny Omega for the International Championship. And John Cena versus Cope in a singles match for the world title. I'm sorry. Wow. John Moxley. Wow. You know what? I would not mind seeing John Cena versus Adam Copeland for the AEW World Championship. That would be something. Maybe they're going to add Okada and Brody King also to this. Because right now it's 8 matches on the main card. Looks to be a fun show. Next week. So this is a Sunday show, by the way, boys and girls. Not a Saturday. And this means next week will be our preview show for this pay-per-view. Let's see what they do. They're in LA. It'll be a good crowd. I'm curious about what they do with that world title, if Cope wins or Moxley. We'll find out next week. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye for now.